Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at
Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
All right, it's time for you to feel a little bit better going into, which hopefully a long weekend for most of you, 3-day weekend. It's time to release maybe something that's had a little pent-up anger that you've had towards someone or something. Tell us who or what is on your list. It's that simple. And the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, is 615-737-1025. Also, same for the text line, 615-737-1025, 737-1025. Burger Republic gift card, $25 at stake. If you do not participate, if you do not get involved in the show, and during You Just Made the List, I will take that Burger Republic. I don't care. I'm going to be a rebel today, and I'm going to take it because I'll use it. It's a really good prize, but you have to get involved.
You've made that
in
very
show.
Clear.
I have. I will take that. I will take that gift card and go to Burger Republic. It's that simple. But you know what? It's our job to give it away, but you have to participate. So tell us who or what is on your list. Who would like to begin?
Willie, you go first.
Oh, no.
Willie never goes first.
I don't.
Okay. All right. So I have to go?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much.
Here's the deal, guys. You know, the sun is shining out here in Bellevue. I've had a pretty good week. I'm a happy person, and I really haven't been angry this week, but I came prepared because I know somebody that has been festering and is very angry. So I am going to turn my You Just Made the List over to Ryan Porth. Ryan,
what's up, guys?
Take it away.
Oh, wow.
How are we doing on this Friday afternoon?
A special appearance?
You have
a guest for You Just Made the List?
I have not made an appearance on You Just Made the List in who knows how long. But I have to get something off my chest because I have been fuming all week long.
This is about the Reds.
All week long. And it has nothing to do with the professional baseball team in the city of Cincinnati that can't get their head out of your new...
Whoa, hey.
All right. So, late July, I go to a furniture store. Her name is not to be disclosed, but her name for a furniture store, I think you can do 1 plus 1.
Does it start with an A?
Potentially.
Okay.
So,
I've had a lot of problems with her.
Order an end table.
Unless you know a girl named Haverty.
No. Never come across one named
or
Haverty.
Or Signature.
Nope. Neither Cons either. So when I order the end table for our new house for the man cave, it was scheduled to be ordered or scheduled to be delivered on August 29th, which was this past weekend. Happy birthday to 102.5 The Game on August 29th. And that was our first weekend with the new house. So they scheduled it for then. I then got a text the next week saying that it was being moved up to August 23rd. We will let you know when we are on our way to your house. So I never got a call. They never showed up on the 23rd, nor the 29th. So I decided to reach out this week. And you call the national number, and it says, you know what, we're closed. You must call your local store. Call the local store at 6 p.m. Their hours are, I don't know, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. 8 p.m. is the important part of this. I call at 6 p.m. They say they're closed. That was Monday.
At 6 p.m.?
At 6 p.m.
They're closed.
They're closed.
Okay.
I call at 5:30 Tuesday. I was put on hold, and then for some reason I fell off. I tried back at 6. They were closed again. So I tried Wednesday.
They are not off to a good start.
I tried Wednesday at the start of those hours. I tried at 9 a.m. They were closed. So yesterday I said, all right, if I can't make it work at 9 a.m. and if I can't make it work at 6 p.m., I sure as hell have to make this work at lunchtime, because if they are closed at lunchtime, they're never open.
Okay.
And I know they're open because I bought an end table from them. So I called them yesterday at 12 o'clock and I sat on hold for 25 minutes. Then I get to somebody, believe his name was Anthony. Nice guy. He took the brunt of the frustration that I had not heard anything from anybody from this furniture store, and that I had to go out of my way to call them. And he then informs me that the new delivery day for this end table is October 10th.
October 10th?
Yes.
Today is September 4th. Is that right? September the 4th?
Sure. So we are over a month away. So I then tell Anthony, I said, look, why am I finding this out this way? Why did I not get a notification that the delivery time was going to change again when I got a message that the delivery time was changing from August 29th to August 23rd when we hadn't even closed on the house yet, and now it's changed to August or October 10th, and you have not told me, anybody from this furniture store, no one reached out to say it was going to be October 10th. So because of this...
And what did he say?
Oh, I'm so sorry, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So I then say, you know what? This has been a headache. I think it is a fair ask that I get the delivery fee that I have already paid for, $69.99, a nice charge,
nice.
By this furniture store for delivery, said, I think it is a fair ask to get the delivery charge refunded because of the lack of communication and the fact that it's going to be delayed 6 weeks. And he said, you're right. Let me send you to our refunding department.
Oh, boy. They're closed.
He did not send me to the refunding department. He sent me to the national online order number. The national online order. So it's the number that you call if you make an online order and you have an issue.
Okay. Did you speak to anybody?
I did. And they said they sent me to the wrong place. They said you have to talk to your local store. By this time, it's about 12:50. So I then call the same local number back, and I once again sit on hold for 20 to 25 minutes. And at this point, I'm fuming. I am, you know, on a scale of 1 to a local cable company, I am at about a 9. Chase knows exactly where I'm going with that. And
yeah, this girl's ghosted you at this point, but continue.
Man. So I end up having a nice lady answer the call after another long hold period. And let me tell you, it was fireworks over the phone. It was total fireworks. And I kind of regretted this comment afterwards, but not really, when she tried to cut me off. And I said, excuse me, ma'am, stop talking. This is called customer service and not employee service.
Boy, shots fired.
And I think with that comment, I successfully got the delivery fee refunded.
What do you mean you think?
Because they are going to refund it when they deliver it on October 10th or whatever date it's going to be. It could be October 1st. It could be September 10th. It could be November 25th.
So
I have
like
no earthly
cable
idea.
Company. You just have to wait between
now,
the hours.
I've got a bigger question for you. Why are you still going through with this purchase? There are plenty of other options Why don't you just get a refund and move on?
It's a very nice end table.
You know what? There's a lot of nice end tables and a lot of
I feel like we could find some other
places.
End tables.
Yeah, yeah. It's an end table.
It's It is a tremendous end table. It fits perfectly in the man cave. It has outlets in the end table that the cat cannot get to the cords. It is tailor-made for Ryan Porth. But
there are those in other furniture.
So it's the end table. It's the end table. It's the end.
Does it have Skyline Chili painted on it?
It does. It does. It has the skyline of Cincinnati painted on the back of it. Not really.
Well, maybe you can't find that. But I don't even know what – at this point, I don't even know why you're going through with the purchase. Just
you could build your
get
own
out.
Table.
But at some point, if I'm going to get out, I at least have to talk to somebody and not sit on hold. That's the thing. If I was going to get out of it, then I had to actually talk to somebody and not sit on hold for upwards of 50 total minutes all day yesterday. So by 1:30 yesterday, I finally got an answer from this woman that I was going to get the $70 refunded.
Was her name Ashley, the woman that you were talking to?
You beat me to it.
No.
No.
It was not.
You can confirm, though, you do not know anybody named Rooms to Go. Is that true? You do not know a female named Rooms to Go?
Nor $300 sofa store.
Okay. Yeah,
You just made the list.
I got to be honest. I don't know why you haven't pulled the ripcord and just get out, man. There are other places you can speed this. You can find another end table, and you can have it in your man cave, bonus room, whatever you want to call it, well before that delivery date.
It's a nice end table. Nah. I really like
it.
How much looking
elsewhere
did you do? Was that the only store you went to?
No. No, don't even get me started with this same furniture store when it comes to the sectional that we bought from.
Just
from
go to Big Lots and be done with it.
So I won't name her by name.
IKEA.
But Trashly Furniture.
You just made the list.
There you go.
Do you feel a little bit better? Kind of better?
Not
a lot better?
Not until I have my peace with the cable company later today.
Wow.
The cable company.
Welcome to homeownership.
Did you ever see I know who we're talking to, but I kind of feel – so I'm not even going to ask it because I know the answer is no. But in the movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles,
I've seen it.
It's an old movie.
I've seen it.
Do you remember when John Candy turns to Steve Martin and says, have you ever been on a bus? And he says no, and he goes – well, your mood's not going to get any better.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't think your mood's going to get any better.
No, we'll see. We'll see.
All right. Well, look, we cannot top that. That is a nightmare story.
All over a freaking end table.
An end table. This better be the best end table ever.
Oh, it is.
Ever.
It is.
To justify going through this for this end table.
Oh, Darren, it is. It has a picture of the Cincinnati skyline on the back of it.
Well, I'm going to have to see this thing to know that you went through all of this for this end table whenever that day arrives.
I have one follow-up question.
Okay.
How does the wife feel about this whole thing? Does she feel like you should have pulled the ripcord and moved on to get another end table, or is she all in on this with you?
The mother-in-law feels like I should have pulled the ripcord on it.
Yeah, that's not what I asked.
But the wife is backing me 110% on this.
Okay. Hmm. All right.
So she feels this end table is the end-all, be-all of end tables.
It's a game changer for the Porth household.
Okay.
Or the Porth pad, as she's calling it.
The Porth pad. Oh, okay. Lord. All right. Well, we wish you nothing but the best of luck with this endeavor, Ryan, that
Thank
has
you.
Turned into quite the headache.
Lots of fireworks this week.
Yeah, this purchase should have came with some ibuprofen.
Is what
it should
doubt.
Have come with. They should deliver that when they eventually deliver your once-in-a-lifetime end table.
And I'm sure they will charge $69.99 for that nice ibuprofen.
There's no doubt in my mind you're not getting out of this delivery fee.
This better be the best.
They'll
end
botch
table.
That. Yeah.
This better be the best end
Watch
table
be
in the history of end tables.
Just a
in
giant crack
history.
Down the middle of it. I'm sorry.
I'm sure they put it in the notes yesterday of when this is finally being delivered. Put a crack in the middle of it just to tick this guy off. I'm sure that was placed in the notes yesterday.
Good thing your furniture isn't food, because there's no doubt we know what will be happening to your food.
Yeah. And now I'm hangry.
Okay. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for the special appearance and your story about this female you know named Trashley.
Yes. Exactly.
We wish you nothing but the best of luck.
I got that off my chest. I feel a lot
good,
better.
Good. Good. Now go have a meal.
Thank you.
Not at Burger Republic, but just go have a meal. Because we have to use that gift card. All right, we've got loaded lines, guys. We're ready to find out who else. I don't think anybody's going to be as mad as Porth.
No, I'm not as mad. I will say this. My quick on the list. On the list are the coaches who are in a bubble in a 7-game series with two goalies that both teams have scouted backwards and forwards. They've been watching these guys play all year, all series, and they won't tell anybody who the starting goalie is. The gamesmanship of which goalie is playing, and I'm not telling you who my goalie is, it's getting a little ridiculous here. So all of the NHL coaches who just go ahead and say who's – everybody knows who's starting. Is it really going to make a big difference that you won't – between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., whenever the game starts, that the other team knows who your goalie is? Really? I just
– thank goodness we never had to go through that in this market. Let's go to the phone lines.
You just made the list.
615-737-1025. Mike, who or what is on your list?
What's going on, guys? So I have a friend who does listen to this radio station. So if he hears this, he'll know exactly I'm talking to him, but we won't use his name.
Okay.
Who claims himself to be a fantasy football expert.
Okay.
We all know a good fantasy football expert. The type of a person that drafts ridiculously early, has something to say about all of your team, thinks that certain players are really good at late picks, whatever. So he finishes his draft, and he posts it up on the internet, claiming it's the best draft ever. And I don't care. We don't. Like, I mean, I'm in my two fantasy leagues. I don't throw them up there on the internet for everybody to be like, oh, man, look at my fantasy football team. That's a separate problem there. He talks about, though, how great his running back bet is and how that it's so important that he got himself four or five starting running backs in his team. Sorry, four starting running backs on his team. Two of those guys, Leonard Fournette, Adrian Peterson.
Okay. Well, at least he has a team right now. That's at least a good start.
Right. But AP, the guy was talking all sorts of stuff about how great his team was looking. And if you're going to talk a whole lot of trash about your fantasy football team, wait until you win the championship before you start talking stuff, because I don't care about your information if you're banking on AP to be one of your running backs in your team. So
yeah, I just think he's a Hall of Fame talker. He's just a hype man. That's all.
Yeah, I can't wait to put him in his place.
All right. Thank you, Mike. In fact, we want a follow-up later on in the season about how that league's going.
I've already texted him many comments about Adrian Peterson and Fournette. So I'm hoping that Fournette's in like a limited role in Tampa. It's not like a full-time starter, but we'll see.
Thank you, Mike. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys.
615-737-1025. We've all had that guy, right, in your league. Always.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple in our league.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's pretty commonplace. Michael, who or what is on your list?
Who's on my list is Jadeveon Clowney, and I'm speaking not just specifically as a Titans fan, but just as an NFL fan in general, that he has been making the entire league wait far too long for his outrageous contract demands, denying just an absurd amount of money, way more than what he's actually worth. It's like we're basically sitting in that lame duck like term of a presidency where it's like, you know, someone else get voted in or inaugurated in January, but the election's already happened, and it's just like that weird span in between where like nothing really happens. That's what we're sitting in with Jadeveon Clowney right now, and it's just ridiculous that we've been waiting this long to find out. One, it's like, is he even going to play this season? Two, like, how much is he going to get paid? And three, is he even going to produce half of what that contract is worth?
There's a lot of, that's well said, Michael. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, you too.
You just made the list.
That is going to be the thing. If he signs here soon, you know, is he going to be, you know, will he be worth all of this? Only time will tell. 737-1025. Let's go to Barrett. Barrett, who or what is on your list?
Hey, guys. I really don't have a list, per se, but I could put forth on it for not just going and finding somebody with a pickup truck. It's an end table. How big can it be? I mean, geez, drive to the store and throw it in the back. But anyway.
I will say this. That did cross my mind. Like, unless this end table is the – he has painted it as the greatest end table of all time, unless it's too big to get in anybody's vehicle. I did wonder that.
Somebody's got a pickup truck somewhere. Help that man out. Anyway, so this is list-related, Willie. Last night I'm watching Holy Moly, the Steph Curry comedy, you know, Joe Tessitore and Rob Riggle and Steph Curry with the stunt mini-golf. And what comes on – but a new Subway ad featuring Bill Belichick.
Yes, they have actually introduced a new commercial, which gives us a little bit of reprieve.
It came on every break, and so I wasn't watching real sports. I was watching comedy sports, but I figured if it's on the mini golf, surely it might be on some actual sporting
content
too.
It is, and thank goodness.
So I think Floyd was listening to us. And he went and called his old buddy Bill and said, hey, man, I know how you can make some money and help out my buddies down here at the same time.
And get Willie off the list.
He cuts the guy's suit jacket sleeves off with his scissors for good measure.
He actually speaks in the commercial.
Now you look a whole lot better. So anyway, I thought about y'all. I laughed most of the night about that. And it was a welcome reprieve. As much as I hate the hoodie, I'd rather see him than hear that song. So. You gentlemen have a great weekend.
All right, you too.
I have not seen that yet.
It is so welcome. I mean, I don't even care if it's a good commercial or bad commercial. It just keeps us from having to hear that song.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to be on the lookout for that. I'm sure I'll see it this weekend. Let's go to Nate. Nate, who or what is on your list?
Hey, fellas. First, I have to ask, who has CBS Sports Network in their TV package?
I do.
Okay, well... this might be a bust then, but I do not, and it seems like most people do not, no matter what TV package you have. So, all the major channels that take or that put on the college football season this season, you are on my list.
You just made the list!
Eastern Kentucky, I'm sorry?
So what TV package do you have?
I just have a, you know, I have an antenna. But my parents and my fiance and her family do not have an antenna. They have, like, Charter or Xfinity or something like that, and they do not have CBS Sports Network. It's usually, like, a little bit more of an upgrade. But Eastern Kentucky and Marshall – and five other college football games are all on some sort of ESPN network. It's either ESPN or ESPN3. The only game I care about, MTSU and Army, is on CBS Sports Network, and I can't watch it because they don't want to use ESPN2, ESPN News, CBS, Fox, whatever other college football network there is, they're not using. And it's the only game that is on CBS Sports Network tomorrow. So, all the major college football channels, you're on
my
list.
You just made the list!
I thought most people had that channel.
Yeah.
No.
I didn't know it was that obscure.
I know, like, with Xfinity, the sports package, you get it.
We never got it when we had Xfinity and the kind of the basic sports package with ESPN and SEC Network and that stuff. CBS Sports Network, unless they changed it since we had Xfinity to Charter, unless they changed it, then
I just flipped over. It's got Jim Rome on there right now, so I got it. Sorry, Nate. Thanks for the call, though.
Thank you.
It is. By the way, I did look while he was saying that. It is on tomorrow, 12:30.
It's on YouTube TV as well.
CBS Sports Network. All right, one more quickly. We got Trey Wingo. Doug, who or what is on your list?
Guys, the guy on my list is a guy that's on the Titans team. He reported late to the team. No call, no show. Didn't pass the physical. Every conversation that you hear is about him. So Mr. VIC, who's been on the PUP, taking the CASH, and you're at the get the PLAY, you're on the list, man.
You just made the list.
I like it.
I like
everything.
That.
And well, also, Ryan, when you get that end table, you need to have letters G-O-A-T stenciled on the top of it, because it sounds like it's a heck of an end table. This is the
Doug.
First sales version of I'm going to get you sucker now. It's personal.
Very, very clever. Well done, Doug. Thank you. As always, you have a great weekend. We'll come back. Trey Wingo next. Becker and Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Boy, that was a spirited, you just made the list. I hope everybody feels better now. Just, you know, getting that out of your system, going into the, hopefully, what is a long weekend for most. See, it's good to do that. It's good. It cleanses the soul. Let's bring in one of our favorites, Trey Wingo, on the line with us. Always good to catch up with him. Trey, how the heck are you?
Well, I feel fairly confident that the kicking woes that have been the Titans' field goal unit for the last few years may not be as much of a problem now that we've got Gostkowski down there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess really as we've been talking about on the show, it was just a matter of his health, right? And I guess if they've signed him, then they feel very good about his health because his body of work is, as we know, there's nothing to talk about there.
Right. Last year was an aberration. And he's, you know, over the last few years, he hadn't been as automatic as he was his first few years in New England. But as we all know in the many conversations we've had over the years, the field goal unit for the Titans was the grand experiment in all of 2019. And didn't they go into the playoffs with a guy who had never kicked before for them? Wasn't that the situation last year?
Well, I was going to ask you, we're going to do trivia in the next hour. I know you remember the game show Name That Tune.
Sure.
How many kickers can you name from last year's Titans roster?
Honestly, probably three, but I don't remember them as kickers. I remember them as the next guy that was terrible. You know what I mean?
Well, there was a lot of that, yes.
I mean, collectively, if we're being honest with ourselves, do we remember them as being, hey, that guy or this group of suck, for lack of a better term?
Well, suck up was one of the names, by the way.
There it is.
There were four kickers last year. Four kickers on the Titans roster. And what was amazing is how many times, heck, we may have talked with you about this, like the weeks they went without even attempting a field goal in the NFL.
On purpose.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, we're not going down that road. So hopefully the Gostkowski thing will make it, if nothing else, more of a stable situation.
And the other thing that we have talked nauseam, and of course Mike Vrabel has certainly, you know, we've laughed. There's been Zoom calls this year with the media where the minute the question comes up, his head just falls on the table, and he's like, oh, gosh, here we go again. The Jadeveon Clowney questions. It does look like it's, well, at least it feels like there may be, you know, coming, it may be coming to a close. It may be coming to an end, that he is going to have a home here soon. Do you believe that? Do you get that same feeling?
Yeah, and from everything that people have been saying, it feels like it may be in New Orleans. And if he ends up there, it would be fascinating, right? Because that means they'd have five former first-round picks on that defensive line alone, which would be interesting because they now, in that division, they would play the Atlanta Falcons twice a year, who have five former first-round picks on their offensive line. In fact, the entire offense of the Atlanta Falcons this year will consist of former first-round picks. I've never seen anything like that.
Wow.
I think they have 12 or 13 guys on the offensive side of the ball right now that were all at one point a first-round pick.
Wow, good stat. Yeah, we went down to New Orleans in the first hour and talked to Jeff Duncan, and who's been covering the Saints for a long time. And he admitted to us, like, because I asked him, I said, do you feel like the Saints need Jadeveon Clowney? Like, there's a feeling here that the Titans need Clowney because of some of the losses in the offseason.
Yeah.
You know, the Vic Beasley thing has been just weird from the get-go. And they, like, everybody feels like they need Clowney. And he said he's a little bit perplexed on why he thinks the Saints are all in on Clowney, because he doesn't feel like they need him, even though, to your point, they go up against some really good quarterbacks this year.
They do, but I also feel like there's this sense in the New Orleans organization that if not now, when, right?
Yeah.
Because go back to the last three postseasons and think about how the Saints have been eliminated. There was the Minneapolis Miracle game when Case Keenum hit Stephon Diggs, the only walk-off touchdown with no time remaining in the postseason history in the NFL. Then the very next year, it was the phantom non-call on Mikel Roby Coleman, the PI, that would have allowed them to bleed the clock and just kick the game-winning field goal as time expires, that would have sent them to the Super Bowl. And then last year in the first round, they lost to Minnesota in overtime. Nobody has ever done that before, and Drew Brees isn't getting any younger. And the Saints and the Titans are very similar in one aspect. I think that a team that has its core in place and has a coaching staff that's been there for a while and has a quarterback that is in the system and has played has a massive advantage in this year because of the lack of reps that anybody could do with no OTAs and no mini camps and any of that stuff before they got to a delayed start at training camp. So I think there's this real sense in New Orleans that, hey, man, we got close, right? I mean, Drew is getting up there, and we got a second receiver now in Emmanuel Sanders that we've never really had with Mike Thomas. We have a legit number two target now, and you know what? We think the defense is good, and if we can add another piece, let's go ahead and do that. I just get the sense from the organization is that they understand that this little run they've been on, they don't know how much longer it's going to last. And I think they're going to do whatever they can to put themselves in the best position to try and close this year.
Yeah. Trey Wingo on the line with us. Close, I would say it was more like heartbreak is what I've viewed the Saints as the last several seasons. Man, it's been brutal, some of the endings to their playoff run. Last thing on my end. Washington, which was then the Redskins, now they're the football team. Right. But back in the day, they had that offseason, and I know you remember where they went out and they just got – it was the all-name team. Yeah. You know, Bruce Smith and Deion Sanders, and it was – they were going for the all-name team, and it didn't work. It didn't work at all. Leonard Fournette, it's like Tampa just keeps adding big name after big name after big name. Is this going to be the all-name team season for Tampa, in your opinion, or is this actually going to be big names that work out and have success?
You know, that's actually a great way to frame that, because I got to be honest with you. I have no idea what to expect from Rob Gronkowski at this point, and I have no idea what to expect from Leonard Fournette. I mean, if you look at the 2017 running back draft class, I mean, there were so many good players that were taken in that draft, whether it was Fournette and then McCaffrey 8 picks later, Kareem Hunt, James Conner. Chris Carson, I think, went in the 7th round that year. And I'm missing a couple of others right off the top of my head, but that 2017 running back draft class was amazing. Leonard was the first, and he's probably the guy that's literally on his last legs already. You know, Leonard came into the league at a really interesting time for running backs, when the full pivot, I think, was just tipping away from the Ezekiel Elliotts of the world to the Christian McCaffreys of the world to the guys that could catch it and run it, but be as much of a part of the passing game as you are going to be a part of the running game. And I just don't know that that's something that Leonard is going to ever do at a very high level in the NFL. Can he give you what he is? Yes, but in Bruce Arians' offense, you know, I don't know how much they're even going to sort of rely on that part of Leonard Fournette's game. So I'm curious as to how he's going to fit into what they want to do. But I have a lot of questions about Tampa because of the things we just talked about. New coach. I mean, new quarterback with a new coach. The tight end coming out of retirement. You know, Tom and all those guys would always, in any other regular offseason, they would have those passing drills and passing camps where they take their wide receivers and go. And I'm sure they tried to do a little bit of that And they got busted once for doing that down in Tampa at a public high school or a public park. So there's so many question marks about new this year that I am like you. I have no idea what to expect out of Tampa Bay. I could certainly see everything falling into place and Brady being Brady and Gronk being Gronk. But there's another side of me that says I can certainly see it all being sort of very difficult at the start and a very uneven beginning to the season.
Trey Wingo is with us, and we've spent a lot of time, Trey, looking at especially the AFC South, this division, and talking to different people. Jacksonville is a dumpster fire, as we all know. Houston, question marks because of GM Bill O'Brien, not Coach Bill O'Brien. And then the Colts, I think we'd all agree, have certainly gotten better this offseason. When you look at the Titans roster, outside of Derrick Henry, is there a player that pops at you and says, okay, you got to spend extra time preparing for that guy. This guy scares me.
You know, it's interesting because he was the receiver that was completely overlooked in the draft because of the guy that he lined up with in college and the freak show that DK Metcalf was, the Kalen Zakarius Metcalf, was physically. But I thought Brown had a much better rookie season, and I think he's a guy. Look, give me an example, right? In the playoff win over the Patriots, what did Brown have in that game? Like three catches, wasn't it? Something like that? It was minimal, maybe even one catch, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That told me that Bill Belichick decided we're going to take him out of the game, because when Tannehill came in and took over last year as a starting quarterback, that's when AJ started really taking off a little bit. And Bill said, if we're going to lose, we're going to lose by not being able to stop Derrick Henry, but we are not going to let Ryan Tannehill go over the top with us and beat us that way. And it almost worked. I mean, I think the Patriots assumed they were going to score more than, what, 13 points? Was it 12 points, right? Was it 12 or 13 in that game? I can't remember. The wild card game.
Yeah, I think it was
13. I don't see.
No, it's been so long.
It was 12. Was it 12? Yeah. Because the pick six by Logan Ryan made it to 20.
Yeah, 20-13. 20-13 was the final.
Yeah, so 20-13. So, you know, I think that they were expecting they were going to score more than 13 points, and they were okay with that. I mean, it almost worked, right? It almost worked because it was 14-13, right? It almost worked. So the idea that Bill was more afraid, in my mind, I don't know, afraid, Bill was more concerned about losing that way than he was the way they actually lost, which was a grinded out, very low scoring game where we had that one punt sequence, you know, in the fourth quarter that bled 3.5 minutes off the clock, which was brilliant. Vrabel out Belichicking Belichick. So yeah, that's the one guy I think that you can look to as a second year with him and Tannehill. I think that would be a guy that'll scare some people.
But do you?
It was
think...
a long way of saying I like the receiver. How about that?
Yeah, absolutely, AJ Brown. But do you think, and I know we always make these Patriots-Titans connections because of John Robinson and Vrabel and those guys, but do you think that they necessarily need that guy outside of Henry and then, in your case, Brown that you brought up? Because the Patriots always had, they got Tom Brady, so you're not worried. Do you think that they're starting to establish some of that when it comes to one of those two guys?
Yeah, and I think the point that needs to be taken there is that if you're going to model yourself after Belichick or what the Patriots did for all those years, is that Bill's favorite thing was having a bunch of different ways to win. Like, we can win doing this, we can win doing that. And I think that's the thing that if you're Mike Vrabel and John Robinson and the Titans, that's what you need to expand. Because let's be honest, we know what's coming, right? With the Titans offense, you're going to get a heavy dose of Derrick Henry, and they're going to try and take you over the top. Bill's favorite phrase whenever he would talk to the Patriots in the locker room after the game, said, boys, we can win a lot of different ways. And I think that's what we need to start seeing from Tennessee. Can we find different ways to win? Can we attack people differently week to week based not on what we do, but so much as what the weaknesses of the team we're playing are, and can we exploit that with our personnel? And that's the thing that I think makes Belichick better than anybody. He doesn't look at it, this is what my team does well. He says, this week's opponent, what do they do poorly, and how can I exploit that with what we have? He sort of looks at it completely differently. And I think that's the way, if we're talking about Tennessee expanding and going on and becoming a more successful and continued successful team, I think that's the mindset that they have to take.
Trey, before I turn things over to Willie, I do want to bring this up and ask, you know, obviously a lot of reports out there about your future and what's going to happen with you. You've always been great with us. We love having you on and hope that that continues. But I don't know how much you want to talk about it or say about it with your future at ESPN and what could happen. But I want to thank you for joining us today and all the times in the past and for the future.
Yeah, listen, all I can say is I'm under contract for a while and we'll figure stuff out. So we're good.
Talking to Trey Wingo from ESPN. And Trey, echo what Chase said. I think our entire staff feels the same way. Whatever happens, we know you're going to be very, very secret. Well, Trey, I want to ask you about Leonard Fournette. We spent a lot of time on him this week. We kicked around the idea of what if you put him in a tandem with Derrick Henry. How crazy would that be from a fantasy angle? But you can see how Leonard Fournette can see an opportunity in Tampa Bay, and they have assembled a heck of a stable of weapons and running backs specifically down there. So you almost can't take your eyes off of the Bucs and what they're doing down there.
You're right, and it's interesting. I'm trying to think of a Bruce Arians-led offense wherever he's been where it's been running back-centric, right? You know, I mean, that's the thing that I find interesting. I think he'll be a change of pace. But, you know, they're going to throw the football. I mean, that's what Bruce Arians does wherever he's been, whether it's an offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh or you know, when he's on Chuck Pagano's staff in Indianapolis or the head coach in Arizona. Wherever Bruce is, they're winging it, you know. They're taking their shots down the field. And, you know, Leonard Fournette, that's certainly not the forte of his game, even as, you know, a guy coming out of the backfield catching the ball. So I think I see him as a counterpunch more than I see him as the bulwark of something they might want to do offensively.
Do you think, like, if you were advising Leonard Fournette, he clearly had some choices. There was a lot of talk about perhaps New England. Was that the right choice for him? Would you have advised him to go to Tampa, or was there another place that you think for the long term and building maybe the next contract that might have been better?
Yeah, you know, the Patriots thing would have been interesting because this is what they try to do a lot, is they try and get something that they believe has a lot of value for a very small price. And they've done once already this offseason with Cam Newton, who, by the way, I'm shocked. I'm sure everybody was shocked that they eventually named him the starter. Nobody saw this coming.
No.
But you know, that's what they do. And I think that they might have been intrigued and might have been interested, but the Patriots are always going to do it at their price. And if they got any indication or any thought that, well, he's looking for more than we want to give him, then they were like, yeah, we're not doing that at all. We'll get you... I'll give you a classic example, okay? The linebacker for the Patriots. Oh, his name escapes me right now. He played really well for them.
There was a Mike Vrabel guy who played linebacker for them.
Yeah, not him. A little more recent vintage. And he was actually a pretty good player. God, I can't believe I'm blanking on his name right now. Went to Cleveland, got paid, got a bunch of money, and then they cut him, and then he went back to New England and played very well for them. And I can't... Well,
Hawk, if you've heard that story before, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's what they do. So I think if they felt like they could work it at their price, it would have made a lot of sense. But you know, the other thing is, this is one of the reasons that the Bucks wanted Tom Brady. Okay, Gronk's out of retirement because Tom Brady is there.
Jamie Collins.
That's
Thank
it.
Thank you very much,
that's
Jamie
it.
Collins. That's exactly who it was. That's a fine on me for not remembering Jamie Collins' name. But you know, so they'll always do it that way. But Brady is a recruiter for the Bucs, and I'm sure that Leonard Fournette looked across and said, whoa, I was on that Jags team that had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter of the AFC Championship game in 2017, and somehow we blew that puppy, or 2016 rather. And no, 2017.
Oh, it was 17, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a star power. Players feel that. I mean, I got a chance to work with Tom Brady, who I think is the greatest of all time. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, the Jags had six Pro Bowlers on that team, and none of them are on their roster today.
It is remarkable how fast that happened. Now, again, they were an outlier because they're doing it with defense and basically managing their quarterback in an era where a quarterback's supposed to be, I don't know, kind of a big deal. So that was obviously a sort of an outlying factor, but it just shows you how quickly things changed. That they had a 10-point lead in 2017 with six Pro Bowlers on the Patriots in the AFC Championship game in the fourth quarter, and that thing has just fallen apart in Jacksonville.
Did you see the movie Good Will Hunting?
Yes.
I'm Robin Williams. May he rest in peace. Trey,
yes.
It's not your fault. Trey.
It's not your fault.
I thought you were going to go, how do you like apples?
That's what I was thinking.
That's down the road. That's down the road. Okay. Hey, thanks for the visit, as always. Good to hear from you. You have a great weekend. Continue to be safe. We'll talk to you down the road.
You got it, guys. Always a pleasure.
All right, that is Trey Wingo. Always good discussions with him. Back to wrap up the third hour next. Good stuff as always, Trey Wingo. Hope you enjoyed that. The reason we were kind of dancing around the subject is it was out there during our show today. It's been the last probably, couple of hours that Andrew Marchand has put out there that doesn't look like his contract is going to get re-upped at ESPN, which, you know, has been rumored. I don't think that's anything new, but the fact that it was put out there during our show, you know, we wanted to give him the opportunity to say anything if he wanted to, and he just basically said he's under contract and he's going to play it out.
Handed it like a pro. And I think all we wanted to get to him, because I didn't expect him to open up and talk a whole lot about it, but I think he will be an asset somewhere to somebody. If he's been with ESPN since 1997. He has He has a million followers on Twitter. So he's going to bring something to the table for somebody. I don't know who. I mean, I think of remember the purge that ESPN had a few years ago. They let a lot of really good people go that we knew very well. Jason Stark comes to mind. You know, there's countless others. The good ones, they will land on their feet.
Oh, I'm sure NFL Network, I could see him easily going there with all of his work with the NFL. He does so much around the NFL.
No doubt.
I could see that.
Any number of places. So this could end up being, you know, a good new chapter for him, even though I don't know how he feels. We have no idea how this all came up or how frustrated he might be or I don't know, but I just know that he is quality, right? He is a pro, and you know he handled that really well. And he could have easily told us, guys, today's not a good day. With the story breaking today the way it did.
He's one of those guys too. When you ask him, 9 times out of 10, whenever I ask him to come on, it's yes, and it's a quick yes. He's one of those. He loves what he does, and is always great to deal with. And he's one of those for me that, you know, I grew up watching SportsCenter when he was, you know, in the heyday of the late 90s and early 2000s, and he was a big part of that, and of course the NFL coverage. And so he's one of those that, like a Dan Patrick or Stuart Scott, that I always go, all right, one of my favorites, just with his personality and all that. And you hear it whenever he comes on with us. So greatly appreciate it.
The bottom line is he will land on his feet no matter what. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. By the way, another guy that we love talking to, Sean Salisbury, I saw where he put out there that he's going to be doing, a nightly hour show in San Francisco. Isn't that the station Lorenzo Neal is on?
Yep. The Game. They're also called The Game.
Yeah. And I told him congrats on that. He's a guy that has always been good to us as well, and we always enjoy our conversations with him. Of course, he's based out of the Houston market, has a daily show there, but I guess is going to do a nightly one-hour football show in San Francisco on, 95.9? Is that
95.7.
Right? 95.7, yeah. So we wish him nothing but the best of luck in that. We've got more gift cards to give away, and we'll have a little fun here on this final hour, and we'll do it by do a little Friday trivia here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.